Shalom Aleichem for Erev Shabbos Shmot. Mishneh Yomi is holding in the second chapter of Ketuvot, Mishneh Tet. We're actually finishing up the chapter today, Bezrat Hashem. Ha'isha Shenichbisha, a woman who was confined, imprisoned, Videi Goyim, by the hands of non-Jews, Al Yedei Mamon, if it was to extract money, ransom, Muteret Labala, she would be allowed to return to her husband, even if the husband is a Kohen, because they would not violate her if they were trying to extract a ransom from her family. If you compare, actually, the word used in Mishneh Tet is nehbisha, is like chavush. Chavush is like imprisoned, whereas back in Mishneh Vav, we were talking about being captured by bandits, by these pagan gangs or forces. It was nishbet, lashon shvui, which really translates to taken captive. So it's a little bit of a different scenario here. If a woman was nishbeit, was shavuya, it was really assumed she was violated. Here, the matzav is they're sort of imprisoning her to get ransom, and they don't want to molest this woman lest they lose out on the ransom. And therefore, she is allowed to resume her marriage to her husband, even a Kohen. Of course, if the wife of the Kohen, God forbid, was violated, they would not continue the relationship. But the Mishnah adds, Al yidei nefashot, if they captured her because they're going to kill her, asura labayla, she's forbidden to return to her husband, the Kohen. The concern is she might have actually agreed to sleep with her captors, the non-Jews, to exempt herself from their punishment that they were about to put her to death. Another explanation is when they were going to put a woman to death, they didn't care about getting the ransoms. They would go ahead and take advantage of her. I've heard stories from pro-democracy activists in modern-day Iran, though it's hard to call Iran modern, that this is done in prisons in Iran to the pro-democracy women who are, God forbid, imprisoned by the Iranian government, Yimach Shmam. Now, the Mishnah adds a related case, Ir Shekvosha Karkum, a city that was taken over by an invading army, foreign army. Kol Kohanut Shenimsut Bedocha, all of the wives of Kohanim, the Mrs. Cohens in the city Psulot, so they cannot resume their relationship with Mr. Cohen. It's assumed that when the pagan armies would overrun a city, that they were not only there to kill, but they were there to molest and violate women and girls, as we have seen in recent times. The imyesh lahan edim, but if any of these wives of Kohanim have witnesses, a filu eved, even if it was a servant, a filu shifcha, or a female servant, any sort of testimony that they were untouched by the invaders, hare elu ne'amonim. So whatever source it is that can confirm she was not violated, we would believe it. Ve'en adam ne'amon al yedei atzmo, but a man is not believed about his own wife. Amar Rabbi Zechariah, as Rabbi Zechariah said, Ben HaKotzov. Now, Zechariah Ben HaKotzov was a Kohen, served in the temple. HaMa'on HaZeh, I swear by this Ma'on, by this establishment. He's talking about the temple. He's like making oath on the holiness of the temple. Lo Zoza Yada Mitoch Yadi, my wife's hand did not leave my own hand. I was protecting her. Mishah Shenichnasu Goyim Yerushalayim, from the time the Romans entered Yerushalayim, Och Yitzo, until they had left. So he's testifying, he's making a shvua, that really the Romans did not molest my wife, Amru Lo, but they told him that the halacha is Ein Adam Meid Al Yedei Atzmo. A man cannot testify on the basis of his own wife. He should have had, independent corroboration, God forbid. It's a very difficult situation. Let's go on to Mishnah Yud, which is very, really interesting, what a person can be believed about, even if they saw it in their youth. Ve'elu ne'amonin lahayid begudlon, these are believed to testify once they grow up, moshro bekotnon, something they saw when they were a kotan, when they were under bar mitzvah. Ze k'tav yado shel abba, if he comes and he says, this is the handwriting of my father. Ze k'tav yado shel rebbe, or of my rebbe, my teacher. Ze k'tav yado shel achi, or this is the writing of my brother. So even though he saw this signature or this document when he was younger, he's believed to recognize the handwriting when he's older. Another example, Zachor Haiti, I remember beplonit, a certain woman, sheyotzta behinuma, that she went out to get married in this special hinuma, this wedding canopy that was reserved for betulot, for virgin brides. Verosha pura, and her hair was uncovered, so we know she was a betula at the time. Now, it's not just that children pay attention to the pomp and the party and the wedding. It's that also it's a chazaka. Most women are married betulots. Most of them have these. So if he says, and we says, if he comes and says, yes, I saw that when I was a katan, when I was 10 years old, I went to the wedding, it was great, then we would believe him. He's just confirming what we already assume. V'shahaya ish ploni yotzim beit sefer, or he says, I had a boy in my class, and he would go out, he would leave school, litbol, to go to the mikvah, to go immerse in the waters of the mikvah, to be purified, lechol betruma, because he was going home to eat truma. So a young boy who saw his classmate had to go to the mikvah before he could have his peanut butter jelly truma sandwich, he's believed to confirm this young boy is now a grown Kohen. V'shahaya cholek imanu alagurin, or he came and divided truma with us on the threshing floor. So the Kohanim are believed that yes, he came with us and received truma, he's also a Kohen. Another example, v'hamakom hazeh beit hapras, and this place is a beit hapras. Now that literally means the house or the place of a piece. What it means is there's a piece of a corpse, like a bone, that was somewhere lost in a field. The field got plowed up and there could be bone fragments. We're really not sure. But so rabbinically, they treat the entire field as being a makom tuma, a place of impurity. So if somebody knew when he was younger, he saw, yeah, they lost a bone in this certain area of the field, then we'd believe him that the rest of the field would be pure. Another example, ve'ad kon, and until here, hayinu bayin b'shabbos. We would walk on Shabbos. So this refers to the tchum Shabbos, tchum Shabbat, which we covered in great detail in Masechet Eruvin. That was almost a year ago. We were learning Eruvin together about the limits, the Shabbos boundary, the tchum, the limits that people would be allowed to walk up to on Shabbat unless they made an Eruv to go past that limit. Avalei ne'eman lomar, but we would not believe him to testify something he saw as a child. Derech haya l'ploni b'makom hazeh, that a certain man had access rights through this other man's property. Now, in this case, he's not just clarifying what the matzav or the halacha or the tchum was. If he testifies that someone had access rights, he's testifying that takes away somebody else's property rights, the owner of that property. Or ma'amad umisbed haya l'ploni b'makom hazeh, or a certain man had a place of standing and a place of eulogy in someone else's property. As we mentioned in Moed Katan, their custom was when they would carry out when the funeral would go out from the city, they would have a place of mamad where they would stand and deliver some words, and then they would have a misbeh, a clearing where they would sit down and deliver some words, and then continue on their way to bury the mates. So we don't allow someone to testify that as a child he saw that a certain man had, rights to use an area in someone else's field, because again, we don't impugn somebody else's property rights based on what someone saw as a child. Shabbat shalom and zagizunt.